Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together, what is the self? How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all splendidly well today. How are you today, John?
I am terrific. How are you?
There you are. I'm great. I thought perhaps you weren't there, and I was just going to go, oh, well, he'll be around. Hi, John. So,
I'm in
John,
the mist.
You know what? You're what?
I'm in the mist. I'm in the fog.
You're
I'm in the air.
Mist. Out of the ethers, I command you to come forward out of the ethers and join us now on Identity Theft of the Self, or I'll start singing, John.
You know what? That don't confront me, Ellen. I'm good with you singing. Is the ether Los Angeles? Because that's really what I'm coming out of, so I'm just letting you know. I'm good. I'm very well. Glad to be here. I'm really enjoying doing this show with you and looking forward to this one. This is one of my favorite topics.
Oh, I know. God, the great multiplier, one of mine too, John, and I'm glad that you're here with me. And I was thinking just before we logged into the show about how the God being the great multiplier can seem really weird until you start looking at the self, as we've been talking about, and reality, as we have talked about, and will continue to throughout the show. But how do we use the self? Now, when I say the self, I mean the unencumbered self, the self that is not weighted down or hypnotized by race mind consciousness. That how do we use that self, the self that says, you know, what my parents think, my friends think, what the world thinks? Okay, I factor that in, but I am my own pure self. And how do I use that self to look at reality from a different perspective? Well, one of the things that we do, from my experience and from people who have been generous enough to share their experiences with me, John, is I look at it and I go, you know what, I just don't like what I'm looking at. Now I'm going to take something that most of us can relate to, which is prosperity. So I look at my bank account and I go, oops, oopsie, This is not so good. And the self says, it's perfectly fine. But me and my mortal fleshly self, encumbered by race mind consciousness and what other people think, et cetera, goes, no, it isn't. There's not enough money there. And so God says, well, then there's not enough money there. And it gets multiplied because God can only say yes. So if I go, wait a minute, I'm not happy with that balance in my checkbook today, John, but I'm going to give thanks that it's there. So we're going to make this really simple because I can't do math and I don't have my calculator with me. So don't laugh at me, John. It's rude.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing around you. How's that? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's say I have a dollar. And that's all I have to my name, and I go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I only have a dollar. Well, I can sit there in self-pity and fear, or I can go to my highest self and say, you know what? That $1 is wonderful. I'm going to hold it in my hand or visualize it in my hand, and I'm going to say, you know what? Thank you so much that I have a dollar. And I know that that will be added unto. I know that it will multiply. I affirm it. I imagine more money coming in. And so by the end of today, I have $5. And when I have that $5, I then take one of those dollars and I put it in the shoebox. Why is that? Because it is a sign for me that I trust that $1 that I saved will be multiplied, and the $4 that I have left in my account will multiply. And I believe it, I affirm it, I visualize it, I feel how exciting it's going to be when I have $8 in my account, and then 16, and so forth. So I believe that the self can look at reality, hardcore reality, consensual reality, and take that $1 and say, well, you know what, I am going to change my perspective on that reality. And I'm going to say, yes, that $1 is there, but I know it will multiply. I believe it. I hear it. I see it. I feel it. And I take the steps, of course, to make that multiply. Maybe I go weed a garden. Maybe I go get a great job. Whatever I have to do, but that money will multiply. And every time there's another dollar, I give thanks. And pretty soon, I'm looking at $2,000. And then I'm looking at $4,000. And I have a better job, or I have more clients, or whatever the situation is, and that money will continue to multiply, and I will continue to save some of it, and I will also start to give some of it away. I will tell a story here, and this is a true story. Years ago, I had a challenging financial time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I was flat butt broke. I mean, I had nothing.
Not just broke, not just flat broke, flat butt broke. All the way,
flat
all the way. You were all the way
broke.
There.
That's
so you
it.
Were broke, yes? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm broke, and I had dependents. And so I thought, well, you know what? I don't quite know what I'm going to do here, but it'll all happen. And little by little, as I gave thanks for having nothing, because even having nothing, I had so much more than so many.
Mm-hmm.
More money started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I had enough to get groceries for my family and food for my pets,
mm-hmm.
I did that. And then as soon as I did that, I had maybe $5, maybe $6 to my name now. And
yeah.
I took that $5 or $6 and I
mm-hmm.
gave it to someone. I gave it to someone in a desperate need. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I've lost my ever-loving mind. That's all you have, and you gave it away. Well, no,
mm-hmm.
because my reality says I gave it away. That will be multiplied. What I gave will come back to me times 7. And you know what, John?
Mm-hmm.
That night, I was doing laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this. I was really conscious of money. And
mm-hmm.
I turned pockets inside out, you know, before I put them in the wash. And there was a $20 bill in my jeans that I'm telling you was not there. Believe me, if I'd had $20,
mm-hmm.
I would have known about it. So slap me and call me crazy or woo-woo or out of my ever-loving mind. But I know in that moment God honored a principle, a law I sent into action. I will give, I will save, I will be a good steward of my money, and what I have will be multiplied in wonderful, good, harmonious, and happy ways. And it was, and that was many years ago, and it continues to this day to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the unencumbered self doesn't stand in fear. It doesn't stand in lack. It doesn't stand in poverty. It says, I have a dollar, I am so wealthy, and more comes. So the unencumbered self is not in fear, is not in lack, and as we affirm, it keeps coming at us in wonderful and good ways. Now, that doesn't mean that you should sit there and say, it's going to come. No, you need to go out and work. You need to find ways to make money. I'm not woo-woo here. But as you do that, you will see how quickly you can go from a dollar to 5 to 10 to 20 to 15. Okay,
mm-hmm.
John, that's my opening scenario.
I wasn't going to interrupt you anymore. I was going to say, you only have 50 more minutes to go on. Can she do it? I know you could.
So, chime in here, John. So,
well,
the unencumbered self multiplier.
Well, the unencumbered self, but I think what unencumbered means to me, Ellen, I think it's important. There's a few things I want to point out. One is the unencumbered self sort of means the self in its natural state open to the force that created it, because that's what you're doing there. What you're talking about in that situation is that unencumbered means you are open, your natural state, you're open to source, God, whatever the word, the terminology to make, the universe, people say a lot, whatever terminology you like to use, but you're open to it. You are unencumbered. There's no belief system in the way between you and growing that $1 into however many. In particular, I think actually it's important for me to say this. It doesn't matter if that $20 was there or not before. It wasn't there for you. So how it got there in a way doesn't matter. What you demonstrated is that principle, and what you're talking about, Ellen, in that moment of someone who actually even had less than you, you gave them away. You are demonstrating that is unencumbered self in its purest form. You're demonstrating absolute faith in that moment. And absolute faith says, look, I know this universe is abundant. I know more is coming. And I'm going to demonstrate that. And part of the reason why, you know, in the Bible it's tithing, it's 10%, but part of the reasons why we move, we give away a certain amount is as a demonstration of absolute, of faith, a demonstration of faith. And you touched on it and you hit on it, but this all has to start with, and I'm more convinced of this, the longer I practice these principles, the more I'm convinced of it. It all has to start with, if you want to multiply something in your life that is good, it has to start with gratitude for what is there now. In other words, you have to be grateful for that $1 for it to become two and six and 2,000 and 40,000 and on and on and on. And it's not, you know, the dollar is the expression of the amount of unencumbered flow you're allowing into your existence. I believe I should be comfortable, or I am comfortable, and I have this amount, there's this much flow going on. Unencumbered. And there's something about that moment of gratitude, even if you're faking it, even if I'm faking it, that moment of gratitude that eliminates, that takes out the belief system. Because let me tell you, the noise of $1 only can be very strong, Ellen. And the topic this week is God is a great multiplier. And if we are focused on, oh my goodness, I only have $1. Oh my God, I don't have any money. Oh my goodness, I only have $1.50. Oh no, that's what's going to keep repeating. And I have both proven that and proven the other. In other words, I mean, there's the adage, you know, do not judge by appearances. Because if we are looking at the appearance is always the thing we created before. Always.
Yes.
In other words, it is spirit spent. It is the thing. That situation, if you backtracked from the point where you went, oh my goodness, I only have $1 and I have a dependent, people depend on me, and I have animals that depend on me, and I only have $1. That $1 moment in your life happened because of a series of beliefs, and I think you're a big girl, you can handle this, and you know this. A series of belief systems that you acted on previous to that manifestation of, oh no, there's only $1 left in my pocket. And
Okay, John, stop. Are you saying that it's my fault? And John will answer that question when we come back from this break here on Identity Theft of the Self. And you want to make sure that you call in and share with us and keep listening, because John is going to answer that question. Make sure you call in and share your experiences or questions, 845-277-9406. That's 845-277-9406. And John is going to answer that question whether he's blaming me. We'll be right back. The good news is, it's true. God is the great multiplier. The bad news is,
God is the great multiplier. As we are kind and loving and generous and thoughtful and centered within ourselves and treat people as we would like to be treated, God multiplies that. And if we're grumpy gusses and we are mean to people or we are short-tempered or we speak without thinking first, guess what? We get it back. Oops. Okay, so God being the great multiplier, instead of worrying about that, think before you speak. Think carefully before you act. And guess what? All that wonderful stuff that's within you will come out and then come back to you in wonderful, beautiful ways. Thank God that God is the great multiplier.
So it's true. It's true. Okay, so John.
Yeah.
Is it my fault that I created that financial mess?
You know what, Ellen? I knew you were going to put me on the spot on this one. I just felt it coming. As soon as I got on that, I got on that train of thought. I went, oh no, she's going to do this to me. You know what?
I am.
Remove the word thought. Fault. What I don't. The situation that you were in was a natural and automatic outgrowth of a series of beliefs and conscious or unconscious affirmations up to that point in your life. And so fault isn't the right word. Fault implies a kind of judgment that I don't think is helpful. And again, the whole reason I do this and you do this and we're doing this show is because we get to talk about stuff that we love talking about and stuff that we practice. And is it helpful to other people? And that's my big thing. Is this part of the conversation helpful? And here's the answer. The answer is it is sometimes. It sometimes is.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to guess, let's say a person like you in this, sometimes it is, but sometimes and often it is not helpful.
Right.
And in other words, if we are part of God is the great multiplier, if I'm continually focused on how I got a series of bad beliefs from, I don't know, my childhood or some lover who hurt me or an ex-husband or an ex-wife or whoever, if I'm focused on that, I need to focus on that to the degree that it helps me to uncover what I am unconscious about. After
yes.
that, it's just a matter of molding what I want to do moving forward. If I am keeping, and this happens to me sometimes, just like, you know what, very often, it's not 100%, Ellen, but you know, and I know, and anybody who works with this stuff know, there are two problems in this world, romance and finance. And when I'm dealing with people who come to me for help, those are the two issues that I'm dealing with. So when it's finance, and I have to, you know, I admit freely, this is my thing I've had to continually practice on in my life, continually practice and refine and get better. And when I have practiced these belief systems, changing my belief systems with spiritual mind treatment and prayer and meditation and affirmation, and I'm still stuck in certain areas, it's always because I'm unconscious of something. I'm unconscious of a belief system that I picked up earlier in my life and I incorporated into my being. I incorporated it. Say, money is difficult to come by is a belief system that a lot of people have. It is hard.
Doesn't grow on trees, you know.
It doesn't grow on trees. It's harsh, you know. You know, all of that stuff. And I had to confront some of it in many people's cases has to do with levels of self-esteem. I'm worthy of living this kind of life and no more. And I tell you, I've made money and I have watched people make money and they will always find their level of belief. In other words, they suddenly come into six figures, but they have a belief system that says they're worth $35,000 a year. They will find a way to make that money go away so they're back at their level where they're comfortable, unless they actively and consciously want to move forward. And when I, like I said, when that happens and you start practicing this, if you get stuck again, it's because you have probably, anybody can contradict me in this, that's fine. In my experience, it is because there is an unconscious belief system that needs to be uncovered, recovered, uncovered, and then discarded. I get that. Now I need to work with that and move that out of my consciousness so I can continue to expand. So what I will say to you is I don't like the word fault. I don't think it's helpful. I will say to you, yeah, you had a series of beliefs or affirmations, mostly probably that were unconscious, because I've known you for a while, not forever, not since I didn't know you when you only had $1, but I'm going to presume that you carried in a certain series of beliefs that you were conscious of and mostly that you were unconscious of, and you manifested a situation that was reflective of those beliefs, but it was also because you wanted to move forward, Alan. It was also an acute manifestation of what you don't want. And that's actually helpful. It's actually helpful to sometimes bring up the exact thing we don't want. I used to say to someone regarding relationships, kept having the bad relationship. And I know from my own experience, it's like, oh, no, we have the bad relationship over and over again until we have it badly. We have the bad relationship perfectly until you fully understand exactly what it is that's wrong, which can come through the bad relationship. Does it have to come that way? Absolutely not. Doesn't have to. At a certain point, we get practiced enough at this that we can see it coming. Oh, I'm creating that. And the train's coming. I'm going to get off the track now. Well, I still have $80,000 in the bank. I'm not going to go, you know what I mean? I'm going to get off the track now and actually turn away. Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that again. I'm going to turn away from that and not get back to that level that I thought I was comfortable with, or that I think I'm worthy. So, yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes, and it was God creating through you, multiplying through you what you believed. And I always go back, you know, I think the most important thing that Jesus said is, and maybe the most important thing that anyone has ever said, maybe, is it is done unto you as you believe. Simply put, the world reflects back to you what you're walking around with. How's that for me? How'd I do? Can I sip my coffee now, Ellen?
Well, I'll give some thought to whether I'm going to let you create that or not. Okay, you can.
All right.
And good answer. Yay. I think you're so right, and you know I agree with this. In my opinion, you're right. Because fault, blame, what good is that? We can wallow around in that forever. And guess what? Because God is the great multiplier, there'll be more reasons for us to feel blamed or at fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. And so I do not think it was my fault. I think I was doing the best I could with what I had at the time. And I am grateful for that experience because it brought me to religious science. It brought me to, okay, I have nothing to lose, so I might as well start practicing some of these things I'm hearing. And I did, and I am grateful beyond measure that I did. And our good friend Jay out in L.A. brought me to my mentor that I was with for some time because of you, John, who brought our good friend Jay to that mentor, et cetera. And so we are all connected. And you didn't know it at the time, but you were going to help me be able to take the faith I had and use it in a very practical way. And that's why I love religious science, because it is a practical application of the things that I believe in. It works whether you believe in higher power, spirit, God, universe, Jesus, Krishna. It doesn't matter, because it is a law and it works. And so is there blame or fault? No, we're doing the best we can with the tools we have. And if we want to change the reality we're looking at, then we can, in fact, learn how to use these tools to create a different reality for ourselves. And I would no more be on the air talking about this if I didn't believe it than I would fly to the ever-loving moon, because I'm accountable for what I'm saying. And so when people say, well, I don't believe it, I go, I don't care. You don't have to. You don't have to believe it, but if you take 2 seconds and look at your life, what were you creating when that event that you didn't like happened to you? Well, I think you were focused on something. I'm not blaming you. I am saying from experience, I can tell you that in my life that has been true. If it's not true in your life, that's fine. It just is in mine. And it's something that I work to practice a little bit better, a little bit more effectively every day. So no matter what questions are thrown at me as far as blame and guilt and all that, that's what I say. Well, I believe God is the great multiplier, and therefore I don't want to multiply more blame and guilt. I don't blame you, John, for having had a challenge. I go, ooh, okay, well, look at the good in that experience, because it brought you to this, which will then bring you to the next, which will then bring you to the next, as long as you keep practicing it. And rather do it consciously, knowing what we're creating, than do it subconsciously and create things that are not to our pleasure. Make sense?
It makes very good sense, Ellen. And it's interesting, too. I mean, there is a, there's layers of this. I mean, there's levels of this. Practice on this. I have to say that most people that are going to listen to this show, most people that are going to come to you, most people that are going to come to me, most people that are tuned in now or will listen to it later on, you know, their phones or whatever, when it's a podcast, they're not going to be so outside the realm of believing this, because if they were, they wouldn't listen. I mean, in other words, you know, life does attract like. That's what we keep saying over and over again here, or in one form or another. And so proving it, I mean, what I like about what you said is proving it. There's a certain point where I had to resign from the debating society and surrender to this, because it allowed me to be totally responsible, which was uncomfortable, because there's some things in my life. I wasn't born on Tuesday. You know, I was born on a Tuesday, but I wasn't born last Tuesday. And there's some things in my life like, wow, I created that. That does not make me happy. Now, some of it is, you know, I have a very expansive view on it, but I had to resign from the debating society and just say, okay, look, can I use this to practice in my own life to make my life better? And not unlike going to the gym and lifting weights, Ellen, there are things I had to and continue to start relatively small and easily and with this process of creating. And the thing that's important here, too, and there's another big element of this, because at the end of the day, are we helping people to practice this? And this is what I would urge anybody who's listening. Practice it. Start with something simple, not with, if you've been dying to have a relationship in your mind or a great love affair in your mind for 10 years, and you listen to this and you go, oh, well, okay, I'm going to change my thinking and I'm going to accept and own and really massage my belief system so that I am in a committed, loving relationship, and it needs to happen by the end of the week. It's like, oh, no, I don't know. I, you know what? Sometimes it's quickly and sometimes it's slowly. There's no question about that. But I would practice with something simpler, like I'm going to manifest an extra $100 by Tuesday if you want to do a deadline. But even I'm going to manifest an extra $100. That's what I'm going to do.
And practice that.
When I was studying this in a formal sense, that was one of the first exercises we were given. You need to manifest $20 out of nowhere. And and interestingly, it came in a very, you know, I remember that very distinctly. But people can practice this, whether you believe it, you know, if you're listening to this, I think you're probably vibrating at least a 51% degree in conjunction with Ellen and John. That's what you're doing. If you weren't, you wouldn't even be listening. You'd be doing something else. And so if you're at 51%, you can practice this with some things. Practice. Open yourself up to something larger than yourself. You can call it God or Source or Universe or Nature or anything you like. Buddha. Open yourself up to say that you aren't the most powerful thing. There is a power greater than you. Open yourself up to that and then say, I would like to focus that power. I'm going to use the consciousness I have to focus that power on something I would like to bring into my experience. And that something is, don't make it easy, like an apple. Well, you can go to the store and get an apple. Not so easy, but something a little bit out of your reach. Okay, I have some issues around money. I'm going to focus on an extra, you know, $50. And even if that feels too much, pick something out of midair, a word, open a dictionary. I mean, this is a really good practice. Prove this to yourself. Open up a book and point at a word and make sure it's a noun. And if it's bugles, Think about the word bugles for 2 minutes in the morning and see how often you see bugles in your day from that moment forward. You will prove to yourself that something is happening that is different. Now, is
that's
that just
so
you know the psychology of massaging? Yeah, but then the next week, expand on something a little bit more. Make
exactly.
it more than just
it's
a noun out of a book. And practice it, and then you will get into an area where it's like maybe it's difficult for you. And I promise you, if you keep doing this for a while, is all I'll say, you will get to the point where your muscle is strong enough that you realize what it is that got you stuck. I'm talking to my imaginary person I made up in my mind at the beginning of this part. And you go, oh, I see why I wasn't having a relationship, because I have this belief that it should be this way, and it doesn't really need to be that way. I don't believe that anymore, but I've been carrying that around, and I'm going to let that go. And then you will start to get into the place where you can ask, oh, no, you can use this to manifest a loving partner in your life, or,
yes.
you know, a job
mm-hmm.
that is six
or
figures.
Whatever.
Or whatever, yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't remember where I started,
John.
Ellen. Bring me back
that's
in.
Okay.
Reel me in, sister.
Well, I'm going to reel you back in, brother. The thing is that we can manifest what we want, and we're going to, in this next segment we're going to go into in just a minute, we're going to be very specific about how to, and then we'll talk about outcomes. So we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. And do call in. It's easy, 845-277-9406. That's 845-277-9406. And John Warren and I will be right back. Never give up on that which you truly desire. I'm going to say that again because it's important. You truly desire. Affirm it, visualize it, believe it, say it with real authority. I have whatever it is. And you know what? It will come back to you. God is listening. God is working on your behalf at all times. Spirit universe takes what you say, what you believe, what you affirm, what you focus on, and brings it back to you in the most magnificent form. I know so many stories about that where, well, I'm going to teach music to 3-year-olds. And you know what? That's not what that person ended up doing. They ended up inventing ways for hearing impaired people to learn how to play a musical instrument. Oh my God. So we may think we know exactly what we want, and we do, and we express it, we believe it, we focus on it, and then it comes back to us in this perfect, perfect form because Spirit's hands have been on it, and those hands will bring back to you your heart's desires. Just you wait and see. It's true. It really is. It's true. How true, how true, how true. So, John, practical application of what we've been talking about here, whether you believe that Jesus existed or was divine or in whatever you believe about Jesus or don't believe, well, I think most of us anyway would agree that the stories about Jesus, again, you don't have to believe it, but in those stories are great lessons, and most of us are familiar with them regardless of our religious or persuasion or lack thereof. So, if we take the story of the loaves and the fishes. So, Jesus was preaching to great multitudes, thousands of people, and it got to be supper time. And the disciples said, Jesus, he goes, yeah, these people are starving. We need to send them home. He goes, why would you do that? Feed them. And the disciples go, we have 2 fish and we have 2 loaves. Loaves of bread. We can't feed thousands of people with 2 fish and 2 loaves of bread. Have you lost your mind? And Jesus goes, well, probably, but no, just start distributing the fish. And okay, so I'm paraphrasing, John. Just go take the fish.
No, it's okay. I'll correct you. I was actually there. I know you don't know that, but I was. So I can tell you what really happened. Go ahead.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, sometimes John, when he goes around the bend, he doesn't even tap the brakes. He just goes right across, right around that bend. But we love him, and we just kind of go,
mm-hmm.
yes, dear,
mm-hmm.
and keep talking mm-hmm. because he'll be back. He'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Anyway, John, we're live on the air. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, so Jesus says, don't worry, just go ahead and distribute the loaves and the fishes and to these thousands of people, and there'll be plenty. And the disciples are like, he's like John Warren. He just went around the bend, didn't even tap those brakes. Okay. But they did. They trusted their rabbi. So they took the loaves and the fishes, and they started handing it out, men, women, children, thousands of people. And when they came back, they had 12 baskets of fish and bread left over.
Mm.
And we're like, wait, let me read that again. So we read it again, yeah, and that's what happened. Okay. So what is that? Well, it's a teaching. First, before Jesus sent the disciples out with two fishes and two loaves, he thanked his Father, God, Spirit, Universe, Divine Love, Divine Intelligence, Higher Self, Higher Power. I can go on and won't, but whatever you believe. He believed there was a power greater than himself, and he thanked that power. And then he sent the disciples out with two loaves of bread and two fishes, and then they distributed it. There's action there. And then they returned, we give back, with the 12 baskets of fishes and bread. Now, as far as we know, well, John can probably fill us in because he was there, but as far as we know, that's where the stories and everybody got fed and continued to listen to their rabbi teaching. Now, what do we learn from that? Well, if we want to manifest something, first we give thanks that it is already true.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you that there's plenty of food. And
mm-hmm.
then we take an action of some kind. We distribute the fish, or we go on monster.com and look for a job, or we ask a friend for help, or we offer to do some work for a neighbor to get paid, or whatever it is we do. But we give thanks, we take an action, and then give thanks again, because at the end of this, Jesus did give thanks. So it's thank you, affirmation, action, and then thank you again. It's very specific. Now, you might say, okay, Ellen, that's fairy tale. It's not real. It's not true. I happen to believe that actually happened, but we all know I'm just a little touched. But I do believe that. I believe it's true, and I use it. Will you quit laughing at me? And I use that model to, in fact, when I want something, I need something, I say, thank you, Father, Spirit, God, Universe, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's God. So thank you, God, that I already have this. And then I take action to get it with praise and gratitude and blood, sweat, and tears if I need to, but I take action. And then once it manifests, I say thank you again. Because God's mm-hmm. the great multiplier, and therefore it will keep happening. Now, I know someone's out there thinking, yeah, but let's say you said, okay, thank you, Father, that I have a Maserati in my driveway. Thank you so much. And then I go out and I try to buy a Maserati, and I get turned away because I don't have that big of a bank account yet, I might add, yet. And so I can't buy a Maserati, and no one's going to give me one. And so I don't get a Maserati. And eventually I go, well, I guess I'm going to have to settle for that different car. I don't know cars, so that station wagon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a smart cookie, which I try to let people think I am, I will say, thank you so much for that 1983 Mercury station wagon that is in my driveway. No, it's not a Maserati, but this was within my budget right now, and my budget is always expanding. And thank you so much, because I know from this I will grow more and more into a belief system that has a corresponding belief for the Maserati, if it's that important to me. But I must never say, well, it didn't work. Yes, it did work, because I got as much as my belief would hold. Jesus could believe, because he was totally unencumbered, his authentic self, his real self, his not touched by race, mind, consciousness self, was so completely vibrant that he could say the water's wine, and it was. He could say the two fishes and the two loaves of bread could feed a throng of thousands. He could say that because why, he had absolutely no doubt that his Father worked within him and around him on his behalf at all times. And so Jesus' manifestations were almost always instant and exactly what he said, because he didn't have any doubt. Now, I have doubt. Most people I know have doubt. But as we diminish the amount of doubt, we give thanks, we take action, we give thanks again, we will get better and better and better at manifesting. And as you so wisely said before, John, yeah, okay, so let's start with $20 or $50, because most of us can't say, well, tomorrow I have $20 million in my bank account, because we don't have a mind at today that can expand to that point. But we can get there if we keep practicing. Okay, I'm done, John.
Oh my God, really? Oh my goodness. I was going to add what you added at the end, Alan, which is again, I mean, the story of the fishes and the loaves is sort of is a story of, it's a teachable moment. That's what the story is, and I think is what it should be used as. I actually wasn't there. I didn't show up until a few months later. But
you lied. Lied.
No. I misremembered. You know, I'm like that guy on NBC. I was like, no, I didn't come into Jesus' life until he walked across the Dead Sea. But I'm being silly. But the answer, you know, the point is that it's a teachable moment, and I think that the points that you hit here, and again, it's great, because Jesus is a test that we can, it's something that we can all sort of, at least in Western culture, we can all sort of look at, and we all kind of have an idea of the basics of that story, of the story of his life and what he did, and that's important. It also at times is, and you hit on this at the end, Ellen, is like, you know, telling a new writer that their goal should be Shakespeare. And it's like, well, okay, that is actually the guy who perfected, you know, the sort of the most amazing writer in the English language or whatever, you know, whatever that is. It's like, and the important thing to remember about Jesus is that we don't know what happened in those first 30 years. We don't know how much he practiced this. We don't know how much practice there was at the level of two fishes and two loaves. But what I do know is that we can practice the principles that are demonstrated in that story, and you hit on them, Ellen, being, and this is really important, and people just miss it. I missed it for a long time, and it really is the shift that can happen when people start practicing law of attraction and God is the great multiplier, which is start with gratitude. Start with gratitude, period. Thank you so much for this that's here in my life right now. And thank you for the fact that that amount, those fishes and loaves are already here. And the important thing is, somebody want, you know, said that, I want a Maserati. I don't know cars either, so let's just say it's a nice car. Maserati. I want a specific 2015 Tesla that costs $100,000. I want this one. Well, you got, you know, you have $100 in the bank. Manifest that. The important thing is, again, Ellen, there comes a time, I know this and believe this to a certain degree, where we get practiced enough, and Jesus certainly was at that place, way ahead of anybody, we get practiced enough where we can get very specific about form. Most of us, that means 99.999% of us are not that skilled yet. Just like 99.9% of the basketball players on this earth will never be Michael Jordan. Well, I shouldn't say never be. They're not close to Michael Jordan. In some incarnation, they will become, if they keep focused on it, as good as Michael Jordan. Most of us are not good enough, practiced enough. I won't say good. They're not practiced enough at this to specifically lean into going from $100 in the bank to $100,000 car the next day. There will come a time, and I know this, I believe this wholeheartedly, I have faith in this, that you do become as good as Jesus. There was nothing between him and the understanding that there was plenty of food to be had. That's the principle. There's plenty here. I know where there is plenty, so I'm going to keep looking up and thanking God for the plenty, Father, Abba, whatever terminology you use, and then knowing that there is plenty, and that kept manifesting, and it manifested very quickly. But I want to affirm this because I can't stand the demoralizing. I have a personal issue, Ellen, with the demoralizing aspect. Well, if I can't do that, then what's the point? The point is, start with $20. Start with picking a random noun out of a book and see how much it shows up in your life if you sit with that noun for 3 minutes a day in the morning. And then move on to 20 extra dollars, 30 extra dollars, whatever it is. And then move on from that and go, oh, you know what, it's going to be 500 extra dollars this month. It's going to be this much more. I'm going to focus on it. I know it's happening. I'm so grateful for that extra $500. I'm going to save some of it. I'm going to buy a gift with some of it, and I'm going to spend some of it. And I'm so happy that that's happening, and then see how it happens, because it's going to be really interesting. It's a great ride. Most of us are on that level, and but that doesn't mean the principles in that story are exactly the same principles that are unfolding in our lives when we consciously focus on what it is that we want to, I don't say want to get, but what I do want to say is what we want to expand into. And what the guy with the Maserati really wants, he wants to expand into a more affluent life. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely great. So
it's
focus on
fabulous.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Absolutely. And that focusing and attention is so important. We're going to take a very hasty break, and then we will be right back for our final brief segment here. So don't go away. And we are here on Identity Theft of the Self. And join us if you'd like by calling 845-277-9406. 845-277-9406. We will be right back with Identity Theft of the Self.
Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info.
Our very own Maria. She is very good. AskMariaNow.info. So I think, John, we don't have a whole lot of time left. I don't know where the heck this hour went, but we have like 9 minutes left to the show. I guess we're just gassing along fine here. Anyway, So as we pull this together, and of course as we go forward with the show, there will be more of this and more talking about it, and I hope you'll call in and share your experiences. And I do want to offer a challenge to the listening audience. Go ahead and do what John said. Pick a noun and see how often you see that, run into it, whatever, as you focus on it for 2-5 minutes a day. Go ahead and see. But I want to know how many of you who don't really believe this but are willing to give it a try, and, of course, those who do believe it and practice it, just in between now and next Saturday when we'll be back here at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific, can manifest something. Now, again, It's not that John and I are saying think small. We're telling you think big. But we start somewhere because it is a muscle. And I can't pick up 200 pounds if I've never lifted weights, but I start with my little 5-pound weights and then get to 10 and then get to 15 and so forth. So I challenge our audience, John, and you and me too, and we'll report on it next Saturday, to manifest something you haven't manifested before in your life and really focus on it 2 to 5 minutes in the morning, 2 to 5 minutes at night, and see what happens, and then report back. And by the way, if it doesn't happen, then we can even talk about that, because I know I've done it and gone, why can't this happen? Oh, because there's something in me that doesn't believe it or is afraid of it or whatever. So let's see what we can manifest in between this Saturday and next, something you really desire, something that excites you, and that you can really visualize and imagine happening, as we've talked earlier. One of the things that I think is so fascinating about religious science, John, is that it doesn't matter what the belief system is. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to believe, because we are talking, ladies and gentlemen, about metaphysical laws that exist, just like gravity exists, just like electricity exists, just like the wind exists. It exists. And it's a fascinating journey to plug into those laws and use them to our benefit. And it is a practice, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a lifelong practice. And I don't know that I will ever turn water into wine, but then again, I don't want to. But if I did and I kept practicing this, would I be able to? My belief system says yes. What about you, John?
My belief system absolutely says yes. I mean, it's not that you don't want to. I mean, there's a practicality to what Jesus is doing in that moment. Water is a dangerous thing in the ancient world. I mean, wine is actually something. He's also being of service in that moment. I think it's worth just sort of touching on that, because we think it's sort of magic. Look what he did. He gave us wine. But also in that moment, Ellen, I mean, what he's doing there is actually eliminating the chance for waterborne illness. And it's actually of service. So I actually think if you add the element, I'm going to turn water into wine, and you find yourself in a situation where you're absolutely of service, I think you would move much more quickly toward being able to perform that, in quotes, miracle. It was a form of service as well. I just want to throw that in there. And, absolutely, Ellen. I think it's important here to say, I'd say start small, practice on stuff that's manageable, but I think we should always think big. And I think you know what I mean by this, is that the reason to think big, the reason to think about the Maserati, if all you're doing is you're riding your broken down car, the reason to think about the Maserati is because it's animating and it's exciting. So always think big. I mean, I believe in thinking big initially. Practice in the present, in the reality where you are, and add on and prove to yourself that you can do this, and then keep going. And also the other thing that I would say, and I'd love to hear from people who practice this week or next week, and see what happens, and as they come back, that's sort of fascinating. And I want to hear back from people. Also observe the people that you know that have started from something and accomplished something else. Everybody knows people who either created a business or found a mate if you don't, then look on TV, find, get those books where you talk, where it talks about the people who did this and that and went from here, poverty, to there, success, and what happened in that process. And invariably you will find, and I know there isn't much time left, you will find that what they did was know it was going to happen to begin with. They knew it. And
on
I have
some
heard,
level, they did.
On some level, whether they say it out loud or not, I have heard politicians absolutely say, period, no, I knew I was going to win, that, and I didn't entertain the idea of losing. Along the way, I went through all the campaign stops. I did all of this stuff. I've heard interviews from politicians. I did all that stuff, but I knew. I never entertained the thought that I was going to fail. And the one I'm thinking of actually was successful. He got the job that he wanted. And I hear it all the time. You watch, listen to Serena Williams after she wins a Grand Slam tournament. What she does, invariably, the very first thing she says is, I want to thank God
you
for helping me through this. And the second thing she says is, thanks her opponent. And the third thing she says about, then she talks about the work that she put in. But it's always in that order. And practice this. Thank you for that extra $20. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And see where it comes from. And I know there's not much time left. When I did this initially, Ellen, it came in the strangest, most hilarious form. It was a free $20 ticket to a football game I really wanted to go to and sort of had written.
Yay.
That's exactly, yay. That week, that specific week, that's how that manifested in that exercise. So try it. Just practice. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Very easy. Come at it easily. Think big, but just practice in the present.
Right. So if you want to be a weightlifter that can, I don't know, because I don't know the weights, but bench lift 1,000 pounds, well, you don't start there. You start bench lifting 50 pounds or 40 pounds or 30 pounds, and then you get stronger and stronger, and therefore you can lift more. And, John, we only have like a little under 3 minutes left of the show, unfortunately, but one of the things that I want to put out there, because I do think it's important, as you are going to manifest, as you are manifesting something that you desire during this challenge or any time, when those negative thoughts come up, because we have them in the flesh, in the humanity, we have negative thoughts. So when those negative thoughts come up, we want to counter them with positive ones. I have $50 more in my bank account by Wednesday. I'm making it up. You have your own. I have it. Thank you, God or Spirit, that I have $50 more in my bank account by Wednesday. You know that's not going to happen, right? Well, you know what? I am affirming that it is happening. I believe it. I feel it. I visualize it. I'm excited about it. And I continue to give thanks. You know that's a bunch of hogwash, don't you? No, I believe it. And even if you don't believe it, if you keep affirming it and visualizing it and seeing it, you'll find that that voice that says, you know that's a bunch of bull pepper, right? That voice will start to go, well, maybe you're right. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, this stuff is true. Wow. It takes time. But don't let those negative thoughts overcome your positive thoughts, and be careful with whom you share your ideas, your visions with, because you don't want to hear a bunch of, you can't do that. You want people to say, wow, really, tell me more, or I'm behind you. I don't get you, but I'm behind you. We want to have positive people in our lives who vibrate at high levels so that we can keep creating individually with God as our source or with each other. But you and I have done it, John, put our heads together. What do we create? The show, for instance. We believed it. We create it. We work for it. We're excited about it. We're enthusiastic about it. And here it is. And so the challenge is there. I want to thank all of you for listening. John, my wonderful co-host. And you can find both John Warren and myself at my website, ellenhartwell.com. That's ellenhartwell.com. John, closing comment in about 20 seconds.
Yeah, 20 seconds. You know what? How to get to Carnegie Hall, Ellen. Practice, practice, practice. That's how you do it. Try it. Experiment. Have fun. Explore. Expand your life is what I have to say. And we can have a whole another hour on how to deal with negative thoughts. And I think we should, because there's
and
techniques
I think we
to
will.
Deal with them.
Oh, yes. We'll get to that next
week. Have a great
week. Take care, everyone.